Yeah, okay, so well, it's thankful for the opportunity for me to be in here and give the talk about my about our works. So, well, we have I had a lot of very talented collaborators. It's impossible to introduce all of them. So let me mention the, relatively junior ones. Like Jane Lee was my former student, now he's a postdoc in MIT. And Kevin Slagle actually was also my former student, now he's postdoc in Toronto. And Yi Zhuang is in the audience. I'm so glad he's here. I mean, because actually, if you have any question I cannot answer, please ask him. And here are the main references. Yeah, so I will talk about unconventional quantum qubit point, but let me first start with the conventional quantum qubit point. So the classic example of conventional quantum qubit point is in this phase diagram, is the Bose-Hubbard model phase diagram, by tuning two parameters, kinetic potential, and also the Hopping amplitude T, divided by the interaction strength U, actually we have either the mod insulator phase or the superfluid phase. Okay, so actually the quantum qubit point and quantum phase transition, they are just phase transitions sandwiched between two different ground states of the same Hilbert space, but actually there's a tuning parameter, so they are just a different ground state of different Hamiltonian, but within the same Hilbert space. So actually, in this very simple class example, actually the mod insulator phase is almost a dual product state. It means that the wave function is almost a dual product of actually a fixed number of particles on every side, okay, over the entire lattice. And then there's the ordered phase with a superfluid phase. There's a spontaneous U1 symmetry breaking, the superfluid phase, but there's no spontaneous symmetry breaking in the mod insulator phase. And actually, the quantum qubit point here is actually a very simple one, the quantum qubit point here. It's a conventional quantum qubit point in the sense that I will explain later. Okay, so this kind of phase transition has a very simple field theory description. It's basically James Landau field theory description. And actually, James Landau field theory can well describe the phase transition I mentioned in the previous slide. And actually, so what I'm interested in about a quantum qubit point, and actually about a quantum qubit point, we are usually interested in a set of numbers, a set of universal numbers that we call critical exponents. For example, we are interested in how the correlation lengths diverge with the tuning parameter, and also we are interested in the scaling dimension or the power or correlation function between the order parameters. Okay, so for all the classical phase transition, we use the James Landau Wilson Fisher paradigm, which actually is represented by this kind of field theories. Okay, but it turns out that although this phase transition is actually a quantum phase transition, it's actually a conventional quantum phase transition. It's conventional in the sense that although it's a quantum, it can be described by classical phase transition in one higher dimension. Okay, can be described by classical phase transition in one higher dimension. So for example, this is a mod insulator phase to superfluid phase transition on a square lattice. It's a two-dimensional system, but actually the field theory describing this phase transition is basically a James Landau field theory in 2+1 dimension. In 2+1 dimensional space-time. So this is what I meant by conventional quantum qubit point. Although it's quantum, we can use a classical field theory to describe it. All we need to do is to increase the dimension by one. Okay, so instead of describing it in two spatial dimensions, we describe the field theory, the James Landau field theory, in a three-dimensional space-time. So that's the only difference. However, the quantum world is actually much more richer than this. So we have understood that there are some unconventional quantum qubit points which is beyond the James Landau field theory, even if we increase the dimension, even if we move their space dimension to the space-time dimension. So these are called unconventional quantum qubit points. So let me just categorize the unconventional quantum qubit point by the type 1 and type 2. So type 1 unconventional quantum qubit point would be a direct second order phase transition or a direct continuous phase transition, a generic continuous phase transition between two ordered phases that spontaneously break two totally different symmetries. Okay, so this actually was called T-confined quantum qubit point, first proposed by these gentlemen in 2004. So in their original proposal, it was actually a phase transition between the nail order on a square lattice, and also the minus one solid order on a square lattice of the antiferromagnet order, of the antiferromagnet system on a square lattice, quantum antiferromagnet system on a square lattice. So we see the nail order actually will spontaneously break the spin rotation symmetry, but the minus one solid order will spontaneously break the lattice symmetry, but not break any of the spin symmetry. So actually, so they propose that there's a direct signal transition, unfine-tuned direct signal phase transition between these two phases, which is fundamentally different from the Jones-Blaundorf theory. So Jones-Blaundorf theory will give us a phase transition between a disordered phase and also an ordered phase. It will always give us a phase transition between the phase without any spontaneous symmetry breaking and also a phase with some spontaneous symmetry breaking. But it will not give us a direct second-order phase transition between two ordered phases breaking different symmetries. Okay, so Jones-Blaundorf theory will not give us that. So this actually is what I call a type 1 unconventional quantum gridded point. Okay? Then, of course, there's a type 2 unconventional quantum gridded point. So this type 2 quantum phase transition actually basically involves some topological things on one side or both sides of the phase transition. So we know that, so in this phase diagram, again, let's look at this phase diagram. So this phase diagram is a phase transition between a direct product state and a spontaneous symmetry breaking phase. So this kind of phase is actually is a conventional phase transition, can be described by Jones-Blaundorf field theory. But actually, suppose that quantum disordered phase have a topological order, for example, have some topological order, even quasi-topological order, like a topological insulator, or symmetry protect topological states. The phase transition actually would usually go beyond the Jones-Blaundorf field theory because we know that these topological state or symmetry protect topological states are not direct product states. Okay, they are not direct product states. So these are what I call type 1 and type 2 phase transition. Questions?
So you said that this happens because the quantum world is richer, but presumably this can also happen in statistical mechanics in 2 plus 1 in deep plus 1 dimension, right?
I doubt it.
Chakras is loop gas model. That is
sorry. Yeah, if you have a loop model, that's a different thing. Yeah, if you have a loop model,
it's still bad. Systems.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, but actually, that's not just Jones-Blaundorf theory. So maybe unconventional critical point instead of unconventional quantum critical point. But actually, that's not Jones-Blaundorf. Okay, I'm saying. Yeah. Okay. So. Of course, I don't need to, give a definition for topological phase, given that Xiaogang Wen has been here for so long. Actually, I assume everybody knows what topological phase is. Okay, so anyway, so the goal of the talk is trying to convince you guys that there is a hidden duality or hidden equivalence between a type 1 and type 2 quantum critical point. Okay, but let me slowly move on to that goal. Okay, so first of all, let me mention that there's a challenge of studying 2 plus 1 dimensional quantum critical points, because actually the standard method of studying 2 plus 1 dimensional quantum critical points are, for example, without supersymmetry, actually the standard method would be doing 1 of n expansion or epsilon expansion. 1 of n expansion means that we increase the flavor of the matter field to the, like, n flavors, then we do 1 of n expansion. Sometimes it's actually well-controlled, do 1 of n expansion. Or epsilon expansion, epsilon could be either 4 minus epsilon or 2 plus epsilon, meaning that we expand around the upper critical dimension or lower critical dimension. Okay, but actually there's no guarantee either of them would convert very well for our realistic condensed matter system, because in our condensed matter system, we know we are working at two plus one dimension, which is a three space-time dimension, and n is usually very small in our condensed matter system, so actually it's not guaranteed that either of the expansion would converge at all, eventually, or if they converge, they may convert at a very high order. Okay, but actually there's a very powerful non-Poitouvian method called a duality. Okay, so the duality actually can map an unknown problem, hopefully, to a known problem. Okay, to a known problem. So for example, the classic example would be the particle vortex duality. It was proposed by Han Yu community and also by condensed matter community. Okay, so let me first explain how this class example works. Okay? So actually, the class example actually considers the phase transition between a disordered phase to a superfluid phase. It means that in the quantum language, it studies the phase transition between a model insulated phase and a superfluid phase. So first of all, this kind of a phase transition in condensed matter language can always be described by condensing a boson. So the model insulated phase is a phase where the boson is actually gapped. Then the superfluid phase is a phase where the boson is actually condensed and a spontaneous breaks the U1 symmetry. But actually, this is the picture where we start with the multi-instrument phase. But suppose we start with the superfluid phase, we can actually think about what in the superfluid phase can drive this phase transition. So in the superfluid phase, so besides the Goldstone mode, beside the gap Goldstone mode, this is something called a vortex. Okay, vortex just means that there is a supercurrent surrounding a singularity of the superfluid density here. Okay, so this actually looks like a very horrible object because it's very non-local. There's a there's a supercurrent surrounding it everywhere in the entire space. But however, suppose I bend the supercurrent direction by 90 degrees, we can see that we can view the vortex as a single particle coupled to an electromagnetic field. So it means that we can view the supercurrent as an electric field coming out of this single particle, coming out of a single point particle. So this actually suggests that following duality. Okay, suggest following duality. So this is a standard field theory. It's a 3D-XY transition, 3D-XY Wilson-Fisher kind of field theory. So the previous picture suggests that this field theory is due to this field theory. Okay, this field theory, so the phi is actually the creation or annihilation operator of the vortex, and is coupled to a dynamical U1 gauge field, okay, dynamical U1 gauge field. So actually the vortex is coupled to a U1 gauge field because actually the vortex actually has an electric field coming out of it, okay? So this transition, suppose I start with the multi-instrument phase, this transition can either be interpreted as a condensation of the boson, or can be interpreted as the condensation of the vortex. Okay, so this phase is the multi-instrument phase of the boson. So everything is gapped. It has a short range correlation, and this phase, the condensation of boson, this is the Goldstone mode. And suppose we use this theory, then this actually will be the multi-instrument phase of the vortex. So there's a photon, there's a Gapitz photon, which is due to the Gapitz Goldstone mode. Okay, Gapitz photon is due to the Gapitz Goldstone mode. But suppose the phi tilt field is condensed, then there's a Higgs mechanism, which means that this theory will be fully gapped, just like this one. Okay, so it means that both theories describe the same physics, and also this duality can be derived on the lattice. Okay, so the lattice version of the derivation, which kind of justifies this this duality of the field theory. Okay, this is the most classic example of a duality. But then actually there are some other basic examples. For example, this is another proposed duality, first mentioned in this old paper in 1993, but later on, it just recently has attracted a lot of interest. For example, the proposal is that this field theory, okay, which is the complex boson coupled with the U1 gauge field with the transimens term, and the critical point r equals zero, this field theory is due to one gapless Dirac Fermi in 2+1 dimension. So here, I wrote two Dirac Fermi. The reason is that there's a Fermi doubler in a two-dimensional lattice. So if I want to realize the Dirac Fermi in two-dimensional lattice, I always realize a pair of them. But I fix the mass of this Dirac Fermi to be very big. And this mass m will be the tuning parameter, So it turns out that if I fix this big m to be positive, and I tune this m from positive to negative, then we can see that after we integrating out the fermions, so this side will have a transimens term for the capital A at level 1, and this side will not have any transimens term. So that means that by tuning this little mass m, I will drive a phase transition between an integer quantum Hall state and a trivial insulator phase. And then the same physics is described by this theory as well. Suppose the phi is actually uncondensed, suppose the phi is actually massive, then by integrating out the little a, I will also get a transimens term of a capital A at a level 1. The capital A is the external U1 gauge field. The little a is the internal dynamical U1 gauge field, by the way. And I suppose phi is condensed, then there's no transimens term for the capital A here. And also, in this theory, although it only has bosons, we can study what is the gauging invariant operators, and we can convince ourselves by analyzing that. We can say that, we can see that in this theory, the only gauging invariant operator is a fermion. Okay, it's actually the flux bound with the charge phi is a fermion operator. So it means that both theories is a fermion theory. The gauging invariant operators are fermion, and also they both of them describe the transition between the trivial insulator and also the integer quantum Hall state. And also this duality also has a lattice version. Okay, very recently there was a very nice lattice construction of the duality. Okay, so this is the example two. Example three is the one that has attracted the most interest recently. it was the Fermilab version of the particle.
So does this mean that that's an exact duality, that, you know, that there is a Isis construction?
Second, exact, yeah, right. So on the lattice, actually, you can say it's a UV, exact UV duality on the lattice. But actually, in the IR, it means that actually, if you start with this theory, then the G will flow to a fixed point. It's like, that fixed point will be due to this free Fermi fixed point in the IR. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so this actually is the most famous one, which was proposed by these series of papers. It's actually a single non-intacting or weakly intacting Dirac fermion. I mean, weakly intacting is not important because in 2 plus 1 dimension, so grand intaction for Dirac fermion is irrelevant anyway. So it's a non-intacting Dirac fermion. It's due to an n equals 1 QED, an n equals 1 QED, but actually it's a mu, it's a little a mu here. In condensed matter language, it's non-compact, but actually in higher language, actually should be compact gauge field, but actually we remove the monopole. Okay, we remove the monopole from the action. We forbid the monopole from the action. Okay, so this is a duality. So actually, it's actually the Fermilab version of the particle vortex duality, because this Fermilab psi is actually the vortex of the Cooper pair of this chi, and this Fermilab chi is also the vortex of the Cooper pair operator of this psi. Okay, so actually, this psi is the vortex of chi is the vortex of psi. So it's the Fermilab version of the particle vortex duality. Okay, so actually, but this one actually, so far does not have a lattice version of duality yet. So let's view this as a conjecture. Okay, let's view this as a conjecture. And actually, suppose we assume that all the three previous examples are true. So let's call them elementary dualities. Okay, so let's call the three duality I mentioned as elementary dualities. So suppose I view them as true. Assume they are true. Then we can use them to derive a very large web of dualities. Okay, and some of the dualities actually are very, very interesting because some of them correspond to unconventional quantum grid points. That is of a great interest in condensed matter theory. And also, these models, those descendant dualities, may be easier to test numerically. For example, this theory is very difficult to simulate numerically. The reason is that it's a single Dirac fermion. We know in 2 plus 1 dimensional lattices, so it's just almost impossible to learn a single Dirac fermion. But actually, some of the descendant dualities are much easier to simulate numerically. Okay, this is what I will do in this talk. Okay, so the first descendant duality that I will mention is this one. Okay, suppose we assume the third example of the elementary duality is true. This one is true. Then using this, we can derive that the n equals 2 QED with a non-compact U1 gauge field, meaning that we remove the monopole from action. Okay, this n equals 2 QED is self-due, it's due to itself. Okay, it's self-due. So there are two flavors of Dirac fermion coupled with one non-compact dynamical U1 gauge field. It's due to another set of fermion coupled with another different U1 gauge field. Okay, so how do you prove that? Actually, different people have different ways to prove it, but actually the simplest way is just two lines of algebra. Okay, for example, we can do the fermion particle vortex duality for each flavor of the fermion. Okay, for each flavor of the fermion, then we end up with two flavors of psi with two different gauge field, and then we integrate out this gauge field. Then we impose a constraint which identifies B and C. Then we end up with this theory. Okay, then we end up with this theory. So just after a few lines of algebra, we can show that this theory is due to, I mean, it's actually self-due, okay, it's actually self-due. Okay, so actually now you may wonder that why is the duality useful at all? Because actually n equals 2 QED is a very difficult theory to do calculation with, okay, it's not large n, there's no obvious weak coupling to do expansion with. So we prove that it's self-due, but this self-due does not seem to give us any information. But turns out that even though both sides of the duality is very hard to calculate, the self-duality still give us some very, very powerful predictions. So for example, what is the maximal symmetry of this theory? Okay, you may think that it's just SU2, just the rotation between the two flavors of the fermion, but turns out it's actually O4, okay? The symmetry is O4. The reason is that on either side of a duality, the symmetry will be SU2, okay? So either side there will be an SU2 flavor symmetry. Times together is SO4, but then the self-dual symmetry, the duality is a Z2 transformation, the Z2 actually acts as improper rotation of the four component vector. So actually in total it's going to be an O4 symmetry. Okay, in total it's O4 symmetry. So this duality suggests that this theory, suppose in the infrared is the conformal field theory, it will have O4 symmetry. Okay, it's much larger than what one would expect. It has O4 symmetry. And the large symmetry will imply that some numbers will equal to each other. Okay, so although we cannot calculate what those numbers are, they must be equal to each other because of the O4 symmetry. Okay, so this is some prediction that one can make. Okay. Another prediction one can make is that suppose I turn on the mass term. Okay, suppose I turn on mass term. So this mass term under duality will change sign. Okay, under will change sign, which means that this mass term will break the O4 symmetry down to SO4 symmetry. Okay, we preserve the SU2 cross SU2 symmetry, but it like breaks the self-dual symmetry. So breaks the O4 down to SO4. So this kind of a mass term actually drives a something called a bosonic topological phase transition, which is a type 2 unconventional quantum field point, okay? So actually you can see that by changing the sign of this mass term, actually we will generate some transimers term for the capital A and capital B, but the level of the transimers term will change, okay? Level of the transimers term will change. So this actually was actually, you can show that this corresponds to the phase transition between a bosonic topological insulator and a trivial insulator. So this is actually a type 2 unconventional quantum field point, okay? And also, suppose I turn on this mass term, okay? So now I turn on a mass term which breaks the SO4 symmetry. This is the mass term which is a psi bar 1, psi 1 minus psi bar 2, psi 2. So if I turn on this mass term here by integrating out the fermion, you can see that it's going to generate a transimers term. It's not going to generate transimers for the gauge field. It will only generate a Maxwell term for the gauge field. And as I said before, the gauge field, the photon in 2 plus 1 dimension is due to a Goldstone model of superfluid in 2 plus 1 dimension. So this means that by turning on the mass term, I'm going to drive the system into a superfluid phase. And by changing the sign of the mass term, I'm going to drive a direct signal transition between two superfluid phases. Okay, and actually these two superfluid phases will spontaneously break two different U1 symmetry. So this becomes a type 1 unconventional quantum field point, okay? Because actually it's like drives the phase transition between two ordered phases, which actually break two different U1 symmetry. Okay, so now you can already see this theory unifies a type 2 unconventional quantum phase transition and a type 1 unconventional phase transition. Okay, but I have told you a lot about the consequence, but actually these results are assuming that N equals 2 QED is a conformal field theory. But is it really a conformal field theory or not? So last year there was a group of people, Latch QED people, they have done their version of numerics and shown that N equals 2 QED without a monopole, non-compact N equals 2 QED is indeed a conformal field theory. And actually later I will show you our version. I will show you our version of the numerics, which show that it's also a conformal field theory with the O4 symmetry. Okay. But before I do that, let me show you a little bit more dualities. Okay. Let me show you a little bit more dualities. I hope you are not getting tired of this. Okay. So I have used the as I said, okay, by using the elementary duality, we can derive a web of dualities, okay? So far we have only used one of the three elementary dualities. So let me use the second one, okay? Let me use the second one, which is the fermion-boson duality, okay? The fermion-boson duality. So if I start with the N equals 2 QED, okay? Again, I do the fermion-boson duality for each flavor. So actually the chi1 will due to some boson coupled with the with the gauge field, with the transimers term, okay, chi2 will do the same thing. And by integrating down the A, this theory will be due to this theory. Okay, so now this is a bosonic QED. Okay, this is a bosonic QED. So actually means that suppose the elementary duality is correct, the A equals 2 fermion QED is due to the A equals 2 boson QED. And A equals 2 boson QED has been interesting to condensed matter theory for a long time, because this is precisely the theory describing the continuous phase transition, the continuous phase transition between the in-plane Mayer order, and also the valence bond solid order. Suppose R is actually greater than zero. Suppose R is greater than zero, then actually the B will be in the photon phase. Okay, B is in the photon phase. And as I said many times, the photons due to a superfluid phase. So it means that this side actually system will spontaneously break some U1 symmetry, And on the lattice, it's corresponding to spontaneous projection of Z4 rotation symmetry of the lattice. Okay, you can imagine I actually embed the Z4 into a U1, embed the Z4 into the U1, so I have the U1 symmetry. So this side, Z1 and Z2 will condense, it will Higgs the B, and also it will have some U1 gauging when all the parameters here. So it means that this theory describes a type 1 unconventional quantum field point between the super fluid order and also the Van Spaan solid order. Okay, so actually the proposal is that this theory is also due to this theory. Suppose we assume that the elementary duality is correct. Okay. So it turns out that now we have obtained a mini web of dualities. Okay, so I said that this theory is self-dual, okay, and it's due to this theory. So it turns out that this theory is also self-dual. Okay, it's very easy to show this theory is also self-dual because actually you can do the boson particle vortex duality to show that this theory is also self-dual. And this critical point precisely as the self-dual critical point of this theory. Okay, so now we have like a self-dual theory, they are due to each other. It's the mini web of duality. Okay, and so it's duality between the type 1 and type 2 quantum critical point. So these are the theoretical proposals. So what is the predictions one can make based on these dualities? Okay, so what we can do is that we can start with a, so for example, suppose I design to check the duality, I can design two different models, and one model can give us a bosonic topological phase transition. The other model will give us the Van Spaan solid to the in-plane anisothermal magnetic order parameter phase transition. Okay, so the prediction is that these two transitions are the same. So which means that there should be some exact relation between the exponents of these two phase transitions. So these are the series. So these are the three major predictions. Okay, one can make. If these dualities are correct, okay, there are three major predictions. Okay, so this was made in this paper. Okay, this was made in this paper. The three major predictions. So later on, so now I'm going to show you that how our lattice version, lattice model numerics work out, and to check these three exact relations of our exponents. Okay, so first of all, we have to design a lattice model to realize a bosonic topological phase transition. So this is our lattice model, okay? This lattice model is actually a bilayer honeycomb lattice model. So for each layer, it has a Ken-Mealy model. So Ken-Mealy model is the simplest model for the topological insulator, for the quantum spin Hall insulator. And the second term is the interaction term. Okay, second term is the interaction term. So actually, suppose I turn off the interaction, suppose I consider the limit where the interaction is zero, then every layer will give you a quantum spin Hall insulator, which means that the bulk is completely gapped. There's a gap in the bulk from the ground state to the excited state, but there's a gapless mode as the boundary. So every layer will give you a quantum spin Hall edge state, which means that every layer will give you a spin up state moving to the left and a spin down state moving to the right. And because we have a bilayer system, then actually very easily at the boundary we have a 2 spin 1/2 mode moving to the left, and 2 spin down mode moving to the right, okay, moving to the right. So this is what happens when J is zero. But when J is infinite, okay, suppose J is infinite, then the ground state of the system is very simple. It's just going to be, this S1 and S2 means that it's S1 times S2, S1 times S2. So this interaction will favor these two sides to form a spin singlet. So when J is infinite, it means that ground state wave function is just a direct product state. It's going to be the spin singlet times singlet times singlet times singlet times singlet. Okay, it's a direct product state. So it means that by tuning J over T, I'm going to go through a phase transition between a topological insulator and also a trivial insulator. Okay, the trivial insulator is because actually when J is infinity, there's no spatial entanglement at all. Okay, so the trivial insulator. So by tuning J over T, there must be a phase transition. There must be a phase transition between a topological insulator and also a trivial insulator. Okay, so first of all, let's look at what happens when the system has very weak interaction. Okay, it has very weak interaction. So, our system, our model at least has a U1 spin symmetry and also a U1 charge symmetry. And without interaction, the boundary state just is described by the two flavors of one-dimensional Dirac fermion. So we can easily bosonize them. Okay, we can easily bosonize them. Then the interaction can be written like that. Okay, the interaction will gap out all the fermion modes, we can do bosonization of that and show that interaction will gap out all the fermion modes, but leave the boson mode gapless. Okay, leave the boson mode gapless. And the gapless boson mode corresponds to the charge fluctuation and also the spin fluctuation, charge density fluctuation and spin density fluctuation. And as long as we have the U1 spin symmetry and U1 charge symmetry, as long as we have these two symmetries, the boson mode will guarantee to be gapless. Okay, will be guaranteed to be gapless, even though the fermion modes are completely gapped. So this means that this system effectively becomes a bosonic topological insulator, meaning that the bulk is gapped. The boundary only has gapless boson mode, but the boundary has no gapless fermion mode at all. Okay, so it becomes a bosonic topological insulator, or in other words, bosonic symmetry protected topological state. Okay, symmetry protected topological state. Okay. So it turns out that our model has actually a larger symmetry than U1 spin cross U1 charge. It actually has an SO4 symmetry. Okay, it has SO4 symmetry. So this SO4 symmetry will become explicit once we rewrite the fermion in a different basis. Okay, if I redefine the fermion, I will see that the system will have an SO4 symmetry. Okay, have an SO4 symmetry. So this SO4 symmetry is precisely consistent with the emergent O4 symmetry of n equals to QED. Okay, n equals to QED.
So okay. Will it become O4? So it's SO4, not O4?
Yeah, that Z2 will be anomalous. Absolutely, can only be an emergent symmetry in the IR. Can only be an emergent symmetry in the IR. Okay? Okay. So we also have some numerical data showing that the boundary states, indeed, the boundary will be, in the fermion as the boundary will be gapped out once we turn on interaction, but actually at the fermion, but the boson mode will remain gapless as the boundary under interaction. But what we are most interested in is actually how the phase transition happens in the bulk, okay, how the phase transition happens in the bulk. So this is the plot, J over T, plot again J over T, and this is the fermion gap, okay, the plot of the fermion gap in the bulk, and this is the plot of the boson gap in the bulk. Okay, we can see the fermion gap never closed, okay, fermion gap never closed, okay, but a boson gap closed continuously and reopened continuously, okay. This means that we have a continuous phase transition between the bosonic symmetry protected topological state, bosonic topological insulator, and the trivial state. Okay, and the trivial state. And in terms of field theory, it corresponds to changing the sign of the mass in the n equals to QED. Okay, in n equals to QED. And as I said before, because of the self-duality of n equals to QED, that theory has an SO4 symmetry and has an emergent O4 symmetry as a critical point. So that's precisely consistent with our last model, which has an exact SO4 symmetry. Okay, it has an exact SO4 symmetry.
Yes. You're talking about the edge states. The boundary condition also preserves SO4?
It does. Yeah, I mean, the whole system, including the boundary.
So how does it happen on the boson?
On the boson, yeah, boson is the SO4 vector. Yeah, boson, I mean, sorry, I didn't write them down explicitly, but boson is just like the Cooper pair has a two component, and in plane spin density wave have two components, so they form an O4 vector. They will transform as an O4 vector on the O4 symmetry. Yeah, so that can be worked out explicitly. Yeah, but I need to write them down, but actually. That can be worked out explicitly. Okay, so this is our numerics for the bosonic, for a type 2 unconventional quantum grid point between the bosonic topological insulator and also the trivial state. So what about type 1? Okay. So the deconfined quantum critical point has been studied for a decade, okay, precisely a decade, starting more than a decade, starting 2004. Okay, and actually, it was believed before that with only the in-plane rotation symmetry, the transition will be first order. But actually, recently we found a model which had to give us which we believe is a second order direct second order phase transition between the in-plane mail order and the binary spun solid order. The model looks like this, okay? The model looks like this. So this actually is the anisotropy, which actually give us will break the SU2 spin rotation symmetry to an in-plane rotation symmetry. And by tuning this Q over J, P is actually, is a complicated interaction, of course, but by tuning Q over J, there's a phase transition between the in-plane nail order and the binary spun solid order. And we can see that as the transition, all the order parameters, including the in-plane nail order parameter, and also the binary spun solid order parameter, okay, they have power law correlation, and also the SD correlation has a power law correlation, so which means that it's a very nice second order phase transition, okay, it's a nice second order phase transition. Okay, and actually within error bar, I have to say within error bar, the two models I mentioned, two completely different models, seems to satisfy these three, you know, three equations that we proposed. Okay, that we proposed. I mean, the duality predicts the three equations. Actually, within error bar, the two different models actually magically actually seem to support these three different equations. Okay. Yeah, so it means that at least the descendant duality seem to be correct. And because the descendant dualities are seem to be correct, they actually give us support of the original elementary dualities, or the original elementary duality, which actually is much, much harder to simulate on the lattice. Okay?
Sorry, I'm just confused. This is not the original Anders-Sandvik's model?
It's not. The original Anders-Sandvik model will be the only the in-plane SY company, but here actually it's less anisotropic.
You're saying that model has first order?
That model has first order.
And it only four particle. It only PIJ, PK.
Yeah, right. And within this PIJ is fully SU2 invariant, but actually in the Sandvik's model actually it's also only in plane. But actually we can so in our model we also tune this delta from the SU2 limit to the to very, very anisotropic limit. So we see that when delta is very big, which means that it's very, very anisotropic, we also see a first order transition. So there could be a tricritical point. There could be a tricritical point there between the second order and also.
And what's the evidence of first order behavior in that case?
Oh, there actually as a transition, there's a small superfluid density. Yeah, there's a finite order parameter as a critical point. I mean, as a transition, not critical, as a transition, as a first order phase transition. Yeah, but in our model, when delta is one half, this is where the simulation was done. There's no residue order parameter as a transition. Yeah, so we did the best we could. I mean, actually, my collaborator did the best they can. Actually, show that this is actually probably a second order transition and support this prediction from a duality. Okay. So these are theory and numerics. So experimentally, actually, we also propose an experimental platform to realize some of the physics that we propose. So first of all, we have to realize a bosonic topological insulator. Actually, we know that the bosonic SPT, bosonic symmetry protoplanar topologies, they are classified by the group cohomology. It's actually a very highly mathematical. It's a highly mathematical field. Actually, so we try to bring the field a little bit closer to experiments. So our bilayer honeycomb lattice model, actually, already looks realistic, but we can make it even more realistic. Because actually the physics we are focusing on is topological physics. It should not depend on the details of the lattice model. So actually, so we did some calculation for the real bilayer graphene in the real experimental condition. So what we have shown is that for the bilayer graphene under magnetic field, okay, the magnetic field actually will break the spin rotation symmetry down to the U1 spin rotation symmetry and all the charge U1 rotation symmetry. Okay, so this model has a spin U1 rotation symmetry and a charge U1 rotation symmetry. So actually, based on some earlier work by Patrick Lee and also Levitov and Dima Avani, actually this kind of system will be driven without interaction, this kind of system will be driven into a quantum spin Hall insulator with counter-propagating spin up and spin down fermions. Okay. So without interaction, there will be two channels of spin up moving to the right and two channels of spin down moving to the left. Okay. So in collaboration with our graphene expert, Andrew Young in our department, we proposed that under cooling interaction, which can be very strong in graphene, under cooling interaction, these are two channels of a fermion mode will become one channel of a boson mode. Okay, the same physics as our numeric types have shown. It means that the cooling interaction will gap out all the fermions, but leave the boson mode gapless. Again, the boson mode will be spin density fluctuation and also charge density fluctuation. Okay, so this actually is which I think is a very realistic proposal of a bosonic symmetry protoplanar topological state, which can be realized in real lab system. Okay, and also the fact that the deconfined criticality on the square lattice, the ED plane version of the deconfined criticality on the square lattice, can be described by the n equals 2 QED, which was discovered recently. So motivated us to look for other deconfined criticality. So it turns out that we recently realized that there could be a deconfined criticality on the triangular lattice between this non-collinear spin order and another complicated violence bound solid order, but although it's complicated, it's actually often seen numerically in a frustrated antiferro mapping on the triangular lattice. So we've shown that there's probably a new, very novel deconfined criticality between this non-collinear spin order and also the violence bound solid order on the triangular lattice. But unlike the square lattice, this theory will be n equals 4 QED. Okay, will be the n equals 4 QED. So why is n equals 4 QED? The reason is that you can look at this spin order. Okay, this spin order, first of all, the system has a full SU2 symmetry. And this spin order will have a ground state manifold SO3. Okay, have a ground state manifold SO3. So it turns out this violence bound solid order can be embedded into SO3 as well. Okay, just like on the square lattice, the valence bound solid order can be embedded into a U1, can be embedded into S1. So on the triangular lattice, the valence bound solid can be embedded into SO3. Okay? So the previous square lattice deconfined criticality is actually a superfluid to superfluid phase transition, or we can view it as a S1 to S1 phase transition. Once the manifold is a one-dimensional ring, okay, S1 to S1 phase transition. Then this transition actually turns out to be a SO3 to SO3 phase transition. Okay, so and the critical point will be n equals 4 QED has SU4 symmetry, has enlarged SU4 symmetry. I mean, we need a larger symmetry to actually incorporate both SO3. Okay, so this is our new proposal.
What are the orange blobs?
Sorry.
What are the orange blobs?
Say again.
The orange blobs.
Okay, so here is something that we have not done. Okay, so we did the careful RGU analysis here, but we didn't do a full RGU analysis here yet because this RGU actually cannot be controlled. So it means that we cannot really do a very controlled calculation here. But the calculation here can be.
So it should be a more complicated theory which flows to QED.
Say again.
So it's supposed to be a more complicated theory which flows.
Yes, right. Some kind of QED, Gross Nebel, you know, this kind of theory. Yeah. So this side will just be QED. Yeah, QED. Right. So actually, there's only one relevant perturbation allowed by the symmetry. Only one relevant perturbation allowed by the symmetry driven from this order to this order. Okay. So in summary, we have proposed some descendant dualities between type 2 and type 1 unconventional quantum point, and actually our numerical simulation supports the theoretical predictions made by the dualities. And also, I want to say that both the deconfined quantum quantum point and the bosonic turbulence have been proposed in bilayer graphene. Okay, so the deconfined criticality proposed in bilayer graphene was done in this paper, and actually I mentioned that our paper proposed bosonic topological insulator, bosonic symmetrical topological state can be realized in bilayer graphene as well. So it means that in the future, maybe bilayer graphene is a very good experimental system which can test our numerical simulations. Okay, that's I'm quite optimistic about that. Okay. Okay, so that's all I want to tell you today. Okay, thank you for your attention.
Thanks. Are there any questions?
So of all these dualities you mentioned, so it's only the boson fermion duality that's exact, right? And
there's a lattice exact duality, right. Yes.
And the rest of them are just low energy.
Second.
Of them are only low energy.
Well, I mean, yeah, we have a lattice duality, and actually the claim is that the lattice duality implies there's an IR duality. But there's a gap there because actually starting from the lattice model and going to the low and diffuse theory, there's also a gap. So, but actually for most of the cases, knowing the lattice model actually we pretty much know what the low and diffuse theory is because there are very few candidates of the low and diffuse theory. Yeah. So I would say that knowing there's a lattice version of the duality gives us very very strong evidence of the duality of the in the IR.
So I guess this finding can be understood in terms of the fact that the symmetric protected topological phase can be viewed as a symmetric broken phase under some dual transformation.
Sorry, why?
So some symmetric protected phase.
Yeah.
Topological phase.
Yes.
Under some non-local transformation.
Uh-huh.
Can be viewed as a broken symmetry phase instead?
That's not what I was saying, but actually, yeah, but what you are saying is also correct, because actually the Kitabi chain can be viewed as a icing model. So that's also, but that's not what I was trying to say here. So actually, so in this phase diagram, there are two directions. One direction drives the transition between two completely symmetric phases. One is the trivial phase, one is the SPT. The other direction drives the two symmetry breaking phases. So actually, yeah, right. So I'm saying that these two critical points are due to each other, but I'm not saying that the symmetry breaking phase is due to a SPT phase. I'm only saying the critical point is due to each other. I'm not saying that this phase is due to that phase.
So in this previous slide, this new model, or this new duality, do you have a,
Okay.
So do you have an example of a lattice model for this?
Oh yeah, yeah, right. I'm very glad you asked, because I forgot to mention actually. It's very difficult to actually design a sine problem tree and have a magnet on the triangular edge. But Ribu has a triangular lattice sine problem tree model, and he has observed both this VBS order and also another spin order phase. But actually, that spin order phase is a spin pneumatic order with SO4 symmetry. So that model, I mean, so that order phase does not look like this order at all, but that order phase also has ground state manifold SO3. Basically, it's the S3 model Z2 spin pneumatic. S3 has SO4 symmetry, then model Z2, I mean, S3 has SO4 symmetry, and S3 model Z2 is SO3.
So that model with higher n, that's not frustrated? Is that the point?
That model for any n is not frustrated. So that model for any n is actually sine problem free model. So I'm proposing that maybe we can use that model without sine problem and modify it, and maybe we can drive a direct transition along this line.
Yeah. I have a question.
Okay.
Because you mentioned transitions between topological phases, but actually you only talked about SPTs, right?
Yes.
So would your arguments also apply to transitions to an actual topological phase of matter, not a symmetry protected topological?
So actually using these dualities, actually we can learn a lot about transitions between the real topological phase as well. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that the numerics that we have done only tested the transition between the SPT and the trivial phase, but actually the duality, actually you can use them for many cases, including the real topological phases instead of SPT.
Yep.
Yeah, I have a question. So you said that you considered the model, lattice model describing the topological insulator, okay? And you said that, so if there is no interaction, then H states are fermionic, and if there is an interaction, as understood, surface states becomes bosonic, okay? And I'm just wondering, is this very fact that surface states in a topological insulator become bosonic physically, can be experimentally checked or something? This fact that excitations, elementary excitations in topological insulator become bosonic, can this fact be experimentally checked or something like that?
This is why we propose this experimental system. Right. I mean, theoretically, we have done the theory for this. Actually, only for certain number of copies of the fermion topological insulator can be confined into a bosonic topological insulator. Mm-hmm. It's like a simple example would be that you need like a numerical eight into the quantum Hall state, and then you confine the fermion, it will become an EA state, like Kitaev showed, actually. So you need a certain numbers of fermenting state to be confined to a boson state. So that theory can be worked out. So actually, I mean, experimentally, this is a platform that we have suggested to check these predictions. Yeah, but actually, but to do the calculation is very simple, because we only have to do the calculation for one dimensional Lachenal liquid. It's a very simple calculation to do. So actually,
And by the way, there is another critical point which describes the transition between fermionic and bosonic. No, I mean, I understand that there is one critical point which describes transition between the topological phase and the normal phase. But is there another critical point which describes this transition between
these fermionic excitations and bosonic excitations?
No. The fermion extension will be immediately gapped out once you turn on a proper infinitesimal interaction. The interaction will be relevant. You can show that it immediately gapped out the fermion mode as a boundary. And because the fermion is already gapped in the bulk, and the boson phase also is gapped in the bulk will also not have any phase transition between me. So I'm saying that the two layers of quantum spin Hall and the bosonic SPD state can be continuously tuned to each other once you turn on interaction. There's no phase transition between them. I go from this side to this side. When I increase j, when I increase j, so this side corresponds to small j. Small j will drive the system into a bosonic SPD state with a fully gapped fermion as a boundary, but the gap in boson. And strong j will be the direct product state, single state. So this is j.
And then what is the
U would be
the Hubbard interaction.
Hubbard-like interaction. So along this line, the model preserves the full SO4 symmetry. This U will break the SO4 symmetry down to U1 plus U1, which is the symmetry of the nail to BBS transition. The in-plane nail to BBS transition has U1 plus U1 symmetry. So once I break the SO4 symmetry down to U1 plus U1, I'm going to see this is a nail to BBS phase transition. This is a U-turn. U-turn actually is a Hubbard-like interaction that breaks
the...
No. Multi-coupled is only... because these two axes have different symmetries, so I wouldn't call this a multi-critical point. It's like the icing transition, right? If you preserve the icing symmetry, there's a phase transition, but if you break the icing symmetry, the phase transition is gone, but we wouldn't call the icing critical point a multi-critical point, because actually if you break the symmetry, it's going to be gone, but that's not a multi-critical point at all.
So then you have two models. You have double layer K-mail model, and you have this JQ model.
Yes. So JQ model only has U1 plus U1 symmetry. So the proposal is that for the deconfined criticality as the critical point has an emergent O4 symmetry. The nail and the VBS will form an O4 vector.
So for the JQ model, as you tune J, are you going up and down in this?
Yes, precisely. Like it's going like it's Q, right? The Q. Q is going up and down. Yeah. The proposal is that as the critical point, as the deconfined critical point, there's an enlarged emergent O4 symmetry.
So this horizontal cord and vertical cord, you're saying, is related to each other through duality, right?
Yes, right. Yeah. For example, the J term will due to the Z component in nail, maybe the stagger Z direction. Right. But due to that.
Okay. So if there are no more further questions, let's thank Shankar again.